Well, today we're celebrating All Saints' Day, one of the seven principal feasts of the church year. And so what does it mean, and why does it matter? Like all the seven principal feasts, All Saints' Day offers us an opportunity to reflect on who we are and what we're about in this mystery that we call life. In particular, All Saints' Day offers us an opportunity to consider that we are part of something greater than ourselves. Our identity is something more than the separate individual selves that we are so deeply conditioned to believe ourselves to be. And that's what I'd like to reflect on today, because feeling that greater something that we are makes all the difference in the world. The Persian mystic Rumi said, "You are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop." And as we say in our tradition, we are the one mystical body of Christ. We are part of the one body, and we are the one body. This year at St. Paul's, we're focused on the theme of belonging. This greater something that we are part of is our true belonging. Now, those of you who were crazy enough, like me, to stay up long after midnight last night watching the seventh game of the World Series may have experienced a taste of that joy of being part of something greater than our individual selves. If you didn't watch it, it was an incredible game, and both teams really deserved to win. But no one person alone on either team could have made victory happen. There were incredible catches, great pitching beyond what can normally be expected, game-changing home runs from unexpected players, moral support among the team members for a common, passionately desired goal. And I know we're just talking about a sport, a pastime with a ball and a stick, but one of the reasons why we experience such uplifting magic and get caught up in the thrill of excellent teamwork is because each team member's experience, and by default our experience as watchers, each team member's experience echoes the deep experience of feeling ourselves as part of something larger. It's like being lifted up by a wave. And even if the team you were pulling for didn't win, or even if you don't care about baseball, that very moment when a team, the second the team wins the World Series, it echoes in a superficial way, but a penetrating way, that experience of feeling the warmth and power of feeling that greater something in us and around us and as us. Our souls know this. Our souls know we are part of something larger, and it's a liberation to feel it, and we long to feel it. It's like a recognition and a great relief, like a homecoming. The felt experience of it changes how we live our life and how we experience our troubles and our great fears. This all relates to the profound dis-ease in our country right now, in our world, really, the distorted sense of disconnection and division which give rise to fear. And feeling that we're separate and living among enemies and potential enemies triggers a terrifying survival mechanism, and all the desperation and discord of hell and fear, and then we act out in destructive, primitive ways that we see in the news every day, coming out of this fear of sensing that the untruth, that we are separate, is the truth. We are drawn from the core of our being to live into the truth of that wholeness, that victorious team that we're part of. So let's talk about All Saints' Day and how it calls us to know the truth of our real identity as the one body. All Saints' Day, as you may know, is actually part of a three-day celebration. And Episcopal priest and contemplative teacher Cynthia Bourgeau rightly said that these 3 days, called Hallowtide, offer themselves as a journey, a progression we can take. And a journey and a progression doesn't bring us to an intellectual proposition that we can assent to. That's not the true meaning of faith. The journey brings us to know and feel in our gut the greater something we're a part of. So the 3 days are All Hallows Eve, or Halloween, then All Saints Day, and then tomorrow, All Souls Day. Halloween, which has traditionally been commemorated with evening Vesper prayers, is now largely a secular holiday commemorated by eating so much candy that you feel sick and really ashamed of yourself. Many of us with wisdom have learned to buy candy to give out that's non-tempting, like Dum-Dums and circus peanuts or whatever. I'm sorry if that's some of your favorite candy. I can't, no accounting for bad taste, but. Anyway, Bourgeau said of Halloween, "In the Christian tradition, it is a day to taunt the death, which we need not fear. We dress up as ghouls, perhaps representing our false selves, our false identity as small and separate," unquote. And this quote reminds me of what Jesus told us, that unless a grain of wheat shall fall to the ground and die, it remains but a single grain with no life. And maybe our false identity that needs to die is like the husk of the kernel of wheat that we need to drop in order to feel the whole and the whole truth of us. Bourgeau continues, "We look darkness in the face and laugh because we are saved by the light," unquote. The light is the conscious awareness that we can have of the truth of who we are as one body in Christ, the truth that sets us free. She says, "Once the shadow is faced, we are then free to move into that most exquisite and subtle foretaste of the glory to come, the mystical communion of saints that we celebrate on All Saints' Day." She calls this the thinnest of the thin places between heaven and earth. And All Saints' Day is meant to commemorate all the saints who have come before us and inspired us. And we have come to view this day not to honor an elite group of superstars of the faith far above us, but to celebrate the sainthood of all believers, the sainthood of each of us. And finally, says Bourgeau, "We are then invited on November 2nd to return to our human condition and particularity, to acknowledge and grieve the ones we have lost from the viewpoint of this world, and to prepare ourselves to live more deeply and courageously as we walk in this strange dual walk of humanity, poised at the edge of the timeless with time." The words celebrate and feast are right descriptions of All Saints' Day because there's a lot to be celebrating, a lot to be joyous about, and there's a lot to feast on, a lot to be deeply fed by. Whatever our beliefs or non-beliefs, this feast day is a moment that many of us don't have enough of. It's a moment to rest from the swirling intensity of life and the thoughts in our head, and to be open to notice what can truly sustain and strengthen us, the truth of things, and that which sparks us to feel the truth of things for ourselves. As part of our celebration today, we have altars here filled with photos of loved ones who have passed on. This is part of the celebration of All Souls. Our loved ones who are no longer here are intimately a part of our hearts, part of who we are and who we are becoming. They're part of the mystery. They're part of who inspires us to become all that we are invited to become, to live more courageously. And in another part of this circle of life, this wholeness, at the 9 a.m. service, we had babies and one adult lined up to have water poured all over their heads. And we had water in the form of tears of joy welling up for them, all a part of this same mystery. We bless them in the holy ground of a clear, tasteless liquid, the plainest thing we can imagine, and yet it sustains all life. No life is possible without it. And so we bless the children to know that they are held in and part of the love and the light and part of the whole and part of Christ, and telling them that they belong to the depths of things as we do. As God is with us, you are a part of something greater. And we told the children, we who are here support you to remember who you are, to know that we need you and the world needs you and your gifts and your uniqueness. Jesus reminded us in today's gospel that in our true identity, we can hold all that life hands out to us, poverty and hunger of one sort or another, weeping, hatred, exclusion, because we who are in truth and know we are in God and feel that and feel ourselves as part of something greater, we know that we are called to, and we can hold all that because those things are greater. Those things are greater than our suffering and our weeping. We are much more than we think we are. This feast is, in essence, a celebration of all of us together in God, in our sainthood, in our fullness of life, in the depths of time, of God's reality, where past and present and what is to come is one holy space. Our true home, our true identity, is upon another shore that is paradoxically both far away and yet right here, right now, nearer than our own breath and our heartbeat. And it's calling us to know it and feast on it and celebrate it, to live into this tender, precious, sacred feast, this tender, holy, sacred moment within us and all around us at all times.